Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. This week, I came across a story about how a graduate student solved a decades-old math problem that was considered pretty much unsolvable, and she did it in her free time as a hobby. The write-up in Quanta magazine almost requires a math degree, which I don't have, but here's some of the content from the article. In the summer of 2018, at a conference on low-dimensional topology and geometry, Lisa Piccirillo heard about a nice little math problem. It seemed like a good testing ground for some techniques she had been developing as a graduate student at the University of Texas. I didn't allow myself to work on it during the day, she said, because I didn't consider it to be real math. I thought it was like my homework. The question asked whether the Conway knot, a snarl discovered more than a century ago by a legendary mathematician named Conway, is a slice of a higher dimensional knot, the Conway knot, and it had thumbed its nose at mathematicians for decades. But before the week was out, Piccirillo had an answer. A few days later, she met with a professor, one of her professors at UT Austin, and casually mentioned her solution. I said, the professor speaking, I said, "What? That's going to the annals right now," he said, referring to the Annals of Mathematics, one of the discipline's top journals. He started yelling, Piccirillo said, "Why aren't you more excited?" She's now a postdoc at Brandeis University. She said, "He kind of freaked out." The professor said, "I don't think she'd recognize what an old and famous problem this was." Well, her proof did appear in that journal, and she now already has an offer from MIT at a fast track to tenure. Pretty amazing. Conundrums can hang around for a long time, and they can be challenging to solve. In Christian theology, there is a similar knot, if you will, called the Trinity. Now, the Trinity is not a knot, but it is for theologians. The Trinity is the Christian way of speaking of God as having one essence expressed in three persons. The idea of how this could be so is so perplexing that it took the early church and their theologians and their scholars about 350 years after the resurrection to come up with a creed to talk about it concisely. And even then, it doesn't explain the Trinity. It just sort of describes the Trinity. But the Trinity didn't come about to torture theologians. It came about because of the phenomena we observe in the New Testament. There was at least one place in the New Testament where we see Father, Son, and Spirit all at work at once. This is in Matthew chapter 3 during the baptism of Jesus. Matthew tells us Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So here we see that Jesus presents himself at baptism. His baptism is a bit like him taking office as the Messiah, his inauguration, if you will. And we hear the voice of the Father from heaven. We see the Spirit of God descending on the Son of God. And this is significant because God's not going behind a stage and changing roles and costumes. God is present in all three expressions at once. So we have this idea of the Trinity. By the way, we're not the only world religion that does, but that's a whole other sermon. But the Trinity is a mystery. It always has been. We could get our mind wrapped up in knots trying to understand it or comprehend it. And here's the good news. We don't need to understand one bit of theology to invite the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. The scriptures teach that the Spirit of God is the main experience of God that we have as Christians as we continue our walk with God in the here and now. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not like a ghost of God. The Spirit is God. And the Spirit is not different in substance than the God, than God the Father or Christ. But Christ the human can't physically live inside us. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, can live inside us. There's a place in the Gospel of John as Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples where he tells them that he will send another to help them continue the mission. In John chapter 4, Jesus says to them, "I've said all this to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you." The power of this is amazing. God has this ongoing plan for his mission in history. Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh, who shows us the true nature of God, and interestingly enough, the true nature of humanity as well, and then dies sacrificially. But the presence of God can't be taken from the earth after the incarnation, so Christ sends the Spirit to live in our hearts so that this amazing mission of love and compassion and power can unfold through us. And it happens as if Jesus were still here, by remote, if you will. There's a minister in Hammond, Louisiana, that shares a story of how God used his youngest son to teach him a valuable lesson about the nature of God's presence. He writes, "One day I was leaving for work when my wife said she wasn't feeling well, and after quizzing her for a moment to find out what was wrong, I decided I should take a personal day off. But she insisted everything was fine and told me to go ahead with my plans. As I was about to leave the house, I thought, now's an excellent time to know, to make sure, my 9-year-old son knows how to call me in case there is an emergency. So I asked him to come to our bedroom where I was making the bed. I sat him down and walked him through the simple process of calling my cell phone. To ensure that he retained the lesson and wouldn't have any trouble later on, I had him give it a try right there on the spot. I watched him dial my number from our home phone. My cell rang, I answered, and for a minute or so we had a nice little talk, standing 10 feet from one another in the same room. After we wrapped up, my son left the room. I thought, okay, if there's a problem while I'm gone, the little man of the house can reach me. Well, about 3 minutes later, my cell vibrated. When I glanced to check who it was that was calling, I saw my home phone number. Still standing in the bedroom, I answered the phone with a smile. "Hello?" "Hey, Dad," came my son's voice. "I just wanted to call from the living room to make sure this phone works from far away." Well, the beauty of God's presence and the indwelling of the Spirit in us is that God's presence works from anywhere, from far away, and yet it's not far, it's near. That presence is near and living in us, indwelling. God's people learned of this on the day of a Jewish festival called Pentecost, and this was after the risen Christ had been appearing to his disciples. Today we celebrate Pentecost, which for Christians reminds us of the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early church in a miraculous, powerful way. In Acts chapter 2, we read, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability." It's a truly amazing story. And this ability to speak in other languages gave the early church the ability to spread the good news about the resurrection to people of other cultures. And the Spirit will send them out to different ends of the earth to reach different people groups with the good news about Christ. Dramatical miracles can still happen today through the work of the Holy Spirit. But it may be that the simple act of knowing God's presence is the biggest miracle of all. That's what unties the mental knot of the Trinity, the actual presence and experience of God unfolding in our lives. It happens today. Here's an example from Preaching Today, a resource I consult often. For 45 years, Pat Summerall's voice and face spelled football. He anchored CBS and Fox's NFL telecasts, often alongside John Madden, and broadcast 16 Super Bowls. This is the part of Pat Summerall's story that most people know. But reporter Art Strickland tells the rest of Pat's story. Pat was an only child whose parents divorced before he was born, leaving him feeling empty and alone. He became an alcoholic, living from drink to drink as his body broke down. During the 1994 Masters tournament, he faced up. "I'd been getting sick a lot, throwing up blood, and I got sick again at 4 a.m. I looked in the mirror, saw what a terrible sight I was, and said to myself, this isn't how I want to live." Pat spent 33 days in the Betty Ford Center in Palm Springs, California. This helped alleviate his alcohol problems, but didn't address his spiritual vacuum. Then he bumped into Tom Landry, his old football coach from his days as a star kicker. Landry explained about Pat's spiritual need and connected him with the Dallas Cowboys chaplain, John Weber. Pat's life was transformed, and he was baptized at age 69. Art Strickland closes his article with a few words Chaplain John Weber offered to sum up Summerall's journey. "Pat was once the life of every party with a drink in his hand. Now he gets his power from another source." Our stories may not be as outwardly dramatic, or they may be. The question is this: how are you inviting God's Spirit to pour into your life and to transform you? Let's pray. Almighty God, on this day of Pentecost, when we remember that you poured out your Spirit on the church in its infancy, we are reminded that we are like spiritual infants that need to grow. Pour your Spirit into our lives that we may be empowered to better serve and love you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.